know and the places we already live and work and play. And it helps us to zoom out and to think back today, because today is the last message in this series. We're ending in Acts chapter 11. There's another 17 chapters of Acts or so, but we've been focusing on the early church. And from this point on, the book of Acts starts moving into the journeys of Paul. And that would be a great message series someday, but we could spend like a whole year in this book if we kept going. So we're calling it today, okay? So today is the last message in this series, and today we're sitting with this idea that the Holy Spirit teaches us. And we actually see this process of teaching happen through the whole book of Acts. If you remember back to Acts chapter 1, when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, about to leave his disciples, all the disciples are asking Jesus, they're saying, "Hey, Lord, isn't it time for you to go and be king of Jerusalem now?" And then the Spirit teaches them that Jesus' kingdom is not worldly, but it's a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus has come to do something much greater than just be king over one city in the world. And then the Spirit teaches the disciples that the good news of Christ is supposed to move out from the city of Jerusalem into the surrounding countryside of Judea and into the nearby nation of Samaria and then into the ends of the world. And then the Spirit teaches the disciples that the good news of Jesus is meant not just for Jews, the people who they were and who they were familiar with, but that in fact Jesus has come to be the Savior of all people. And time again, the Holy Spirit actually teaches the disciples. The Holy Spirit actually surprises the followers of Jesus. And story after story in the book of Acts, event after event, it's really cool to see how the disciples are continually surprised by the work of the Holy Spirit. Time and again, the disciples are working hard, they're toiling, or they're suffering somehow, or their vision of God's kingdom is just far too narrow, and then the Holy Spirit shows them something new. And it's as if the disciples get a chance to step back and say, "Oh, wow, Lord, that's what the Holy Spirit has had planned all along, and it's much greater and it's much better than anything I had in mind." So the Holy Spirit teaches us continually. You know, a great example of this, maybe outside the book of Acts, of the Holy Spirit teaching or showing us where God is moving, it might be the nation of China. You know, some quick history. Did you know that Christians first arrived in China? Well, let me ask, do you know what year or what time generally? Anyone? Anyone want to guess? Say it loud because I can't hear you up here. 1800, earlier than that. Later than 500, at least to be sure. 635, they were led by a missionary named Alapin. They established churches, they made converts, and in fact, there are gravestones and things like that, Christian gravestones from that time that we can find, and even documents from near then. However, in the year 845, the Chinese emperor declared that Christianity would be outlawed along with Buddhism and Zoroastrianism, three religions they saw as foreign to China, and about 100 years later, Christianity had been basically eliminated from the country. Until, you'll hear that word a few more times, until the 1200s, when Christianity once again arrived in China, brought by, of all people, the Mongols of Genghis Khan fame. The Mongols had been heavily influenced by Eastern Christians, and when the Mongols conquered China in the 1270s, they brought Christianity back with them. And even during this time, a Roman Catholic mission was established by Franciscan monks, with a change of ruling families in the 1300s, Christianity was once again outlawed, and within a few dozen years, the religion disappeared from China once again. Until the mid-1500s, when Jesuit monks, Franciscan monks, and others established missions and schools in mainland China. And at that time, their knowledge of European science actually won them a spot in the royal court in China. And so Christianity then, it spread slowly but consistently over the next 400 years or so in the country. Until October 1949. When the Communist Party of China was established and religion, all religion, was at first discouraged and then outright banned, outlawed. And for over a decade then, Christianity only survived in China as an underground religion, underground secret churches. And today, beginning along with the opening of China that began even as far back as the 1970s, Christianity has begun to flourish. Now, today, the officially sanctioned churches in China count 26 million members, and scholars suggest when you include Christians who are part of unsanctioned congregations, underground churches, and by now China has a long history of underground churches, there may be somewhere between 103 million and 127 million Christians in China. And to put that in perspective, America has about 240 million people who profess Christianity as their religion. And that number in China is rising rapidly. And so what the Holy Spirit is doing in China right now in the nation is in fact really cool. And it's kind of surprising for a nation like that. And as people hear about Jesus, as they come to faith and as they join the life of the church in China, the Holy Spirit is moving. And how neat that is. Now, I'll say, if you had only surveyed the history of China up until the year 1970 or so, or perhaps if you're like many of us here, if you grew up in America in the mid-20th century, when all you heard about China, communist China, was that they forbade any Christian practice, the Communist Party strictly did not allow it, then you might be forgiven for thinking that Christianity would never and even could never take root in China. You might be forgiven for thinking that perhaps God just wasn't going to make it happen. For whatever reason, God was not interested in that country. But in fact, with the explosion of Christianity in China over the last few decades, we can take a step back and say, oh, wow, that's what the Holy Spirit had planned all along, and it's much greater and much better than anything I would have thought of. And even today, the Holy Spirit teaches us continually as he works in the world and as we see what Jesus is up to. The Holy Spirit has a better plan than we could ever imagine. You know, this is a good lesson for us to learn today here in America, because of course in America, as we consider our own culture, our own country, we see all of our cultural trends kind of going in the opposite direction, don't we? Today we look at the people around us. We see maybe the 36% of young people who claim no faith. We see those who have been hurt by the church in the past and say they will never ever go back. We see those who strongly oppose Christian moral teaching and say that's not for us. Or we see our friends and our family who are just uninterested in things of faith. And so today in America, we're tempted to look at the people around us and then wonder or to think, are these people just too far from Jesus to ever know him? Will these people, can these people ever know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or is there no hope? And when we start to think that way, then we start to wonder if all we do is worthwhile. We wonder if our efforts in sharing the good news of Jesus are wasted. We wonder if maybe God just is leaving. Well, let me share another story with you, this one from today's scripture reading. And this is a story, in fact, about how Jesus crosses every boundary and every barrier that people put up to divide themselves. It's a story about the Holy Spirit bringing some unlikely people to faith, and it's a story about the Holy Spirit teaching the early Christians something new and amazing so that the people could say, oh, wow, that's what God had planned all along. A little background first. We've heard a few times in this message series about how the early Christian church started as basically a Jewish church. They were Jews. Their Messiah had come in Jesus Christ. And it took a few lessons before the early Christians finally realized that Jesus had come to earth for all people. Jesus died on the cross and rose again to forgive the sins of everyone, every person, and to realize that Jesus' work was to make people new. And that newness is available to all. It took a while for them to learn this lesson. And part of why it took a few tries was because of the cultural barriers that the Jews in the ancient world had put up between themselves and the rest of the world. These were considerable barriers. If you were Jewish in that day, you were not supposed to spend time with people who were not Jewish. You weren't supposed to eat with them. You weren't supposed to enter their homes. And if you did any of these things, then according to the Jewish regulations, the Jewish religious law at the time, you were unclean. And then you would have to take certain steps, do certain things in order to become clean again so that you could participate in the religious life of the nation. And now at the beginning of our scripture reading, the Apostle Peter is being criticized basically for doing all of those things that make you unclean. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews, had also received the word of God. And Peter was the one who had taken it to them. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, he's returning to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, that's the Jewish believers, criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." And so these Jewish Christians, these early Christians, they're thinking, we're Jewish. Jesus was Jewish, and Peter should not have gone to those people because they're not Jewish too. They're not like us. And so then Peter tells them the story of what has happened. And I can say really quick, by the way, this is actually the summary of the last two chapters of the book of Acts. This is a great story. I wanted to include it, but we're getting the summary version as Peter retells his story now to these other believers. And so first, Peter shares his experience of receiving a vision. Peter said he saw a sheet coming down from heaven. It's filled with animals that Peter is supposed to eat. A voice from heaven says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But the problem is that all of these animals are unclean animals. You're not supposed to eat them according to the Jewish dietary laws. But the voice from heaven persists. And God says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this happened three times. Comes down, hears the voice, and goes back up, and then the vision's over. Well, Peter is puzzling over what all this means when three men approach. Three Gentiles, unclean men, show up at the home where Peter is staying. The Holy Spirit says, go with them. So Peter goes with them. They arrive at another home where Peter is invited now to tell the family about Jesus and what happens there. Well, Peter says, I'm with this Gentile family, and as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? These Gentile believers, they came to faith. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and Peter realized that the Holy Spirit was teaching him something new here. Peter realized that the church wasn't just for Jews. You see, there was a problem with the way the early Christians had been thinking that the Holy Spirit corrects right here with Peter. There was a problem with the way they'd been thinking. There was actually something in their thinking which caused them to believe that these Jews and Gentiles shouldn't be together in one church. There was something in their thinking that caused them to believe that non-Jews just wouldn't and maybe even couldn't follow Jesus. And our clue to what that is goes back to verse 9, where God says to Peter, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. When God says that to Peter, of course, Peter's looking at food. So there's an obvious kind of connection to the Jewish dietary laws here, and we can talk about that another time. But the context, the setting of this story within, or the setting of the vision within this story, and how Peter interprets the vision and what he does next and how the Holy Spirit confirms it, the context shows us that really God is talking about people, not food, but people. Don't call anything impure that God has made clean. Because Peter and the other early Christians, they didn't just stay away from Gentiles because they thought, well, we might come into contact with something we shouldn't eat. They didn't stay away from Gentiles because Gentiles just acted differently or dressed differently or worshiped different gods. They spent all sorts of time with people who did that. Peter and the other early Christians, along with the Jewish people of their day, they stayed away from Gentiles because they believed that the people themselves were unclean. In other words, they thought the people themselves were off limits. The early Christians had been looking around. They look beyond the borders of Israel, or they look at the Gentiles living within the land, and they thought, those people will never know the Lord. They're just the wrong people for it. And our efforts there would be wasted. But God said differently. Don't call anyone impure that God has made clean. The Holy Spirit taught Peter and the other early Christians that Jesus had come for all. And in fact, the church received this news with joy. Wow, God, this is what you had in plan. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So the Holy Spirit led the way for Peter and the early church, and time and again, the Holy Spirit surprised them. Time and again, the Holy Spirit taught them. And here we see them, see the Holy Spirit leading the early church into a whole new world of mission to the Gentile nations surrounding the land of Israel. And in fact, this is where, like I said, the book of Acts begins to take up the journeys of Paul. And Paul spent his whole life, his whole career after his conversion, traveling and sharing the gospel with all of these people whom they once thought were out of reach, whom they once thought could never know Jesus as Lord. It's pretty cool. And so for us today, I believe the lesson is the same. Nobody's beyond the reach of God's grace. Jesus crosses every border. Jesus transcends every boundary and all of the ways that we separate ourselves as humans. And so this week, and even right now, I want to encourage you to do two things. First, take a moment and think. Think of those people whom you know who don't know Jesus. Think of those people that make you wonder, will this person or could this person ever know the Lord? Could be a friend, a coworker, a family member. Have that person in mind. Good. Well, now say a prayer. God, I trust you. God, help me trust you to do your work and help me to do my part. Because, you know, God never gave us the job of changing people's hearts and minds. God never gave us the job of creating faith. You know, that's really hard to do. That is Jesus' work and his alone. But what Jesus did give us the job to do was to follow him, to act like he does, to welcome and accept our neighbors, no matter who they might be. Jesus gave us the job to do some good. Jesus gave us the job to love and care for people, to pray for them, to talk about redemption and forgiveness and new life in Christ. And when you think about it, all of those are pretty small and simple things to do. Those are not that hard. And that's all our God would have us do, because he does the hard parts himself. So we can say, God, I trust you. Help me to trust you to do your work and help me to do my part. And this week, and always in your life, when you get discouraged, or whenever you start to wonder if your efforts in life really mean anything, and this could be in this area of mission or really anywhere else in your life, pray this too. God, I trust you. Help me to trust you to do your work and help me to do my part. And I do believe that as we follow Jesus together, as the Holy Spirit leads us all, I believe that we will be surprised by who the Holy Spirit leads us to, by our Lord working faith and life, and new life in the most unlikely people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We are going to continue now by speaking.